Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Carson Justin Golf Podcast. This is our seventh episode, and we've got a lot to talk about this evening. It's a sunny evening here in Fort Wayne, Indiana. 61 degrees today, so the golf season is right around the corner there, Justin.
Yeah, definitely. Stepping outside today, it's not much difference from the inside house temperature and the outside house, so very, very exciting for the golf season coming up here.
Exactly. So, you know, as most of our listeners know, you know, we've missed two straight weeks of golf. So we've taken some time off, busy part of the year, getting ready for the golf season, getting our games in gear and getting mentally prepared. But we've got the Honda Classic to talk about and then the legendary Arnold Palmer Invitational. We'll give you guys a quick recap of both of those, and then we've got a big discussion on the big tournament that is coming up this next week, and that's the Players.
Yeah, so Players.
Be ready for the Players discussion, because that's going to be a big one. But Justin, I'll start off with this question: what were your thoughts on the Honda Classic and the performance of Keith Mitchell in that final round?
Yeah, that was one of the more exciting finishes we've seen, honestly, on the PGA Tour this season. Ooh. Keith Mitchell had about a 15-footer on 18 to win, and he knocked it right in the center, big left-to-right breaker. He played tremendous coming down the stretch. I don't exactly remember how far under he was, but he rallied. He dug deep. You could tell how bad he wanted it, and tied at 8-under coming down 18, tied with Brooks Koepka and Ricky Fowler. Those are some big names, and maybe he could be thinking, my name doesn't really fit up there with those guys, you know, crumble under the pressure, make a bogey. But no, he's gets down there, gives himself a look, and knocks it right in. And Keith Mitchell gets his first PGA Tour win at 25, so congrats to him. It took some guts to finish off the way he did, and now he's part of the winner's circle.
Exactly. You know, Justin, that tournament really looked like it was just basically bound to be a massive playoff.
Yeah.
I know everyone was actually really looking. I know I was. I was looking forward to seeing that playoff.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can't forget, and, you know, a lot of the listeners may have forgotten, but Vijay Singh was in contention until on the 17th hole, he dumped his iron shot in the water. He had a chance to win the Honda Classic. 57, I believe 57 years old. He would have been the oldest winner or the oldest player ever to win on tour by like 3 or 4 years, some margin of 3 or 4 years, which is incredible. And that really shows, you know, Justin, we see a lot of videos of Vijay on Instagram, but he hits the weight room hard.
Yeah, he trains as hard as anybody, I believe. One of the golf commentators said, and he's actually best friends with my uncle. So,
that's true.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people were pulling for Vijay to get the win. It's unfortunate we saw him hit really just a terrible pull on 17 that ended up going in the water, but it was a good run, and unfortunate it had to end that way for him, but hey, maybe that says he'll be around here in the next coming years to actually get that tournament win as the oldest winner ever on the PGA Tour. That'd be quite the scene.
It sure would. You know, he's a guy who, I think, you know, Justin, you said right after the tournament, you know, watch out for Vijay in the Masters. And I don't really disagree. I think that Vijay could be the type of guy that in the Masters and somehow gets his way into contention. He's definitely not going to win, in my opinion. But I think he along with Fred Couples, those guys who are hard workers and just, you know, are real veterans of the game, they can find themselves or find their way up there in major championships.
Especially if the score is closer to par, you know, if you got the leaders around, you know, 6 or 7 under after the first 2 days, you could definitely see them at 1 or 2 under and competing over the weekend. And, you know, say 10 under wins the tournament. I mean, you might be able to see an older guy like Vijay get close to that total. He just proved he's capable of it. So, yeah, definitely looking forward to that, and I got Vijay as my front runner for the Masters.
I like it. You know, Justin, Keith Mitchell, obviously that's his first time winning on tour, an incredible feat for, you know, a guy like him who's really worked hard to make his way on tour. But, you know, another question for you, do you feel that really heading into any tournament. Obviously, we're not in the era of Tiger domination. It may come soon again. Tiger may start to dominate tournaments again, but we aren't there at this moment. Do you really think that anybody in the field can win the tournament, any given tournament on the PGA Tour, anybody who shows up? Because that's kind of the feeling that I'm getting.
Definitely. You really don't know. I mean, who's going to win? We had a couple really good picks, but, you know, we had some background to kind of help us make those picks over the last few weeks, like with Phil and with Rory and DJ, and they were playing well at tournaments they usually play well at. But hey, you got these fields with all these unknown names and known names, and then you see the leaderboard at the end coming out on Sunday, and there's probably 20 people within five shots, and they have all types of names, and you just really don't know. Like Keith Mitchell came out of nowhere, and you thought Fowler and Koepka were going to go to a playoff for the trophy, and then Keith Mitchell comes out of nowhere and takes it. So, and then just anybody could win. I get the same feeling.
You know, Justin, we've been, I believe, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we're 2 for 3, and they're both your picks out of the tournaments that we've selected picks for.
Yeah.
Two of the three, I think our picks combined have picked the winners, and both of them were Justin's 2 weeks in a row. But
yeah, and then Rory, you picked Rory, and he got second. So
that's right. That's right. And that's our goal, to let our listeners know. We're going to pick, you know, for every week that we actually come on and do a podcast, and since the golf season is starting to come around here in Indiana, and the weather's getting better, we're going to do these podcasts more often. We're going to try to pick the winner each week. You know, if Justin picks it, that counts. If I pick it, it counts. We're just, as a team, we're going to try to pick the winner and see how many weeks in a row we can get. So that'll be pretty exciting. But overall, I think just the message is congratulations to Keith Mitchell. Fantastic first PGA Tour victory. A great first place to win at PGA National. Jack Nicklaus, the bear trap. If you win there, you can put yourself up in the list of great tour players, because it takes a lot of guts to win at a golf course like that.
Definitely. I was not playing easy whatsoever. And I mean, I'm pretty sure Keith Mitchell had a heck of a final round. I don't remember the exact score he had, but to play as well as he did with the no wins going into that, lots of pressure and a very tough course with lightning fast greens. I mean, it's just all the props to him, and I expect to see him win some more events. Definitely. Exactly. He's a young player, and he's got a lot of potential, and I'm sure we're going to see some more up-and-coming stars just like him, like we were saying, with the huge variety of players out there in the field. You got all the big names and little names, and really anybody could win any given day, shoot any given score on any given course.
Uh-huh. Overall, I'd say the Honda Classic has been the best tournament on tour so far this year. It was exciting coming down the stretch. It was maybe the most exciting. Now, moving on to the next tournament, obviously the very, very legendary event, the Arnold Palmer Invitational. We found out early in the week that Tiger Woods had withdrawn due to a neck strain. That was awfully deflating for me. I think I almost started like crying. I kind of slammed down my phone and I'm going, well, that just ruined my whole week. what were you thinking, Justin, when he announced that?
Yeah, it was a little sad to see that he wasn't going to be in the field, because he's obviously the number one guy you want to see watch. Like how you said before, there's not like a Tiger dominating the tour, but even though he's not winning as much, he's Tiger's still dominating the tour.
He is Tiger.
Yeah, he's still dominant, but yeah, as we were saying, I was disappointing to not see him playing, but you realize the Players is the week after, and he'd rather have the Players, and he just wanted to make sure his body's completely tuned up for the Players. So exactly. He had a little neck soreness, didn't feel like he could go 100% and really win the most recent tournament. He wanted to make sure he'd be able to be 100% and really compete in the Players.
Knowing Tiger, the Players, exactly. Knowing Tiger, Justin, I think that he realizes how big the Players is this week coming up. And I just wouldn't be surprised if his – I mean, his neck definitely was probably bothering him. But I think he just wanted to rest and prep for the playoffs. I think this really could be his week. But we'll get to that later when we're actually giving you, all the listeners, the playoffs preview. But how about Francesco Molinari winning the Arnold Palmer Invitational? Fantastic final round. He's kind of a dark horse player. He won the Open this past year at Carnoustie, a course that I'm actually going to get to play this summer, which is going to be incredibly exciting.
Yeah.
And he beat Tiger Woods there. Yeah, I mean, he can stack up with the greatest in the game. And he really doesn't have that standout type of game. He's just that player that just sort of plods along and plays very consistent golf. He's got a great golf swing. And every once in a while, he finds himself in the top of the leaderboard after 4 days. It was just a fantastic performance in that final round. Justin, what do you see out of Francesco Molinari that is just so, so impressive?
I really think it's just his mental toughness. He just seems very mentally sound. He's obviously, like you said, not like a standout personality or a standout like act of a golfer you got to go see on the course, but he just goes about his business very professionally, and he seems very humble, and he wants it. He can't become the champion golfer of the year without wanting it and having those traits about you. And the mental fortitude he showed coming down shooting that 64, especially grinding out that birdie on 18, and especially with all the missed putts, like the short missed putt, like, not short missed putts, but barely missing birdie putts. He barely missed so many putts, and that can get so frustrating a lot of times. And he just stuck with it, and he got the couple more birdies he needed, and ended up winning by, I believe, two or three. And just his mental toughness is the number one thing that stands out to me about him.
You know, Justin, another thing to draw away from that final round, obviously you had Rory McIlroy and Matthew Fitzpatrick there in that final pairing. Molinari did not he did not win the tournament from the final pairing. He won it early. And that's something we saw, you know, the past week at the Honda, Keith Mitchell posting a score early. And that's what Molinari did, and basically made it impossible for Rory or Fitzpatrick to catch him. Which was quite impressive. And that really shows how important, I think sometimes people underestimate what it means to post early. They think that I'll post early, somebody else will just top it. Not necessarily. That's another reason why I'd never give up going into the final round. You could be 8 shots back, all of a sudden post 7 under par, and all of a sudden the leader shoot a couple over and you win the tournament.
Yeah, and you have no pressure on you at the same time while doing that. I mean, maybe a little bit right. Once you realize you're at the top of the leaderboard. But, yeah, you come out and really free, and you're not too worried about, oh, I got to protect this lead from all these people. Like, it's like, all right, I'm just going to come out, try to light it up, get a good paycheck, and before you know it, you're at the top of the leaderboard. And then maybe those thoughts creep in a little bit, but you've already gone through most of your rounds, so you can just finish it off in style like Molinari did by banging it off the flagstick from 40 or 50 feet.
Exactly. And he used the 2019 rules to his advantage there.
Yeah.
which was excellent. You know, that's a putt that Tiger's made several times to win the tournament. About 10 feet out watching that, I knew it was in. I mean, it was right on that line. It was that speed slot that kind of curls down there. And I know, Justin, you mentioned it to me earlier this week, and you said, you know, Carson, that's a putt that's almost easy to make, and a lot of people wouldn't agree with that, but I agree with what you said. You just have to get the ball started on that right line and just know that it's going to curl in.
Yeah, really, it's halfway down on that putt. It looked like it was good, honestly. I mean, you can't
– Yeah, that's true.
I don't know how much someone can really, like, pick up on it as the putt's in motion, like, live, but – really halfway down, you're like, man, that just looks perfect. And then it's like an art form, and he just draws it like right in the hole.
Right.
And yeah, he gets the big fist pump. He gets the $1.5 million check, and the champion golfer of the year will be looking forward to his next event.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly right. I mean, it's nice to see a major champion when a tour of another big tour event to kind of back it up, to kind of prove himself again. Not to, you know, you have to prove yourself after winning a major championship, but it does say something that you can win internationally at the Open Championship and then also win in the U.S. on the PGA Tour at a very prestigious event, that being the Arnold Palmer Invitational. So congratulations to Francesco Molinari. The only negative thing is I think he kind of took the fun out of the tournament toward the end.
Yeah.
It definitely does not – I would not rank it on in the top three, maybe not even the top five of most exciting events in the 2019 season. I believe there's been 9 or 10. It wouldn't even be in my top five.
Yeah, I wouldn't say either. Individually, his performance on Sunday, I believe, is a very is high up there. Like, he played amazing and had a great finish. But overall, with all the other competitors in the tournament, with the way they played on Sunday, it didn't really come down to an exciting finish. They would have had to albatross the last hole to get into a playoff. So,
right.
So yeah, that definitely took away from the excitement of that. Individually, it was a great performance for him and a ton of excitement around him individually, keep saying. But yeah, no, Rory, I expected a little more out of Rory. He definitely could have made a little bit of a run. But, you know, Molinari did the same thing this year that Rory did to everyone last year, coming from way behind early to post a score and end up winning.
That's exactly right. That's a good point, Justin, about Rory. He has been – I believe there's a statistic that was thrown out on Golf Channel the other day that said Rory has been in the final pairing maybe the last six times Rory has been in the final pairing, he hasn't won. He's 0 for 6. He hasn't been able to close on Sunday. That is the biggest question leading into the heart of the season, starting here with the Players, and then you got the Masters, and then – the rest of the season consecutively, you have a major championship a month. Can he find a way to finish? Because no doubt he'll find his way into contention again.
Yeah.
It's just the fact that if he can finish or not, that's the big question.
Yeah. I just really want to know what happened to Spieth and Rory. Both of them, they four majors out of nowhere, three majors out of nowhere, next Tiger. And now neither of them are winning any more majors. I mean, if they prove me wrong in the next coming years, perfect. Then I'm getting what I'm asking for. But they were so hot, these young prodigies, and they're still obviously great golfers and the best golfers in the world. But there's just a little something that was there that isn't there now that they really need to, rediscover to bring back the major championship winning style of golf that they grew a little accustomed to.
Mm-hmm. With that, Justin, let's move right on to the Players, because I think that's a great segue, especially with Jordan Spieth. Jordan Spieth is going off at 159 tomorrow in the first round. This is kind of a unique aspect for our viewers for this podcast. We normally do our podcast on Tuesdays. We're doing it on a Wednesday night. We're giving you basically the best information that you could possibly get before the tournament, because we've let everything sort of play out in the practice rounds. All the news conferences, all the tee times, everything's set. The golf course is prepped, and we're ready to preview this tournament for you. So he's going off at 159 tomorrow with Fowler and Koepka. Justin, what do you think of that pairing? Is this Spieth tournament to maybe turn it around?
That's a great pairing. Three of the most exciting players to watch in the game worldwide. Playing together, Fowler and Spieth, really good friends. I'm sure they're good friends with Koepka too. You expect all of them to do well. It's just the consistency factor with Spieth I just haven't been seeing. And at the Players, even when he had been doing really well in majors, you really didn't see him doing too well on the Players. So the Players has kind of been a little bit of a hurdle for him to do consistently well in all 4 days. Hopefully this is the year he really overcomes that and shoots three over in his opening round and gets himself off to a good start, and he can continue to build off of that or even better. I mean, but you see, you typically see Spieth drop a 4 or 5 over in the Players. I feel like that happens almost every single year. And
it does.
Obviously Fowler's won the event. So you expect him to play well. I don't know about when, but I expect him to be capable of winning. And then, you got Koepka, who lives for the big moment, really loves and flourishes in the big tournament atmosphere. And this is the biggest
prize pool ever in a PGA Tour event. $2.25 million is the largest prize ever for any PGA Tour event, if I heard that correctly. So with that being said, I expect Koepka to show up 100%, and it'd be awesome if all three of them do.
Exactly. Another pairing to look out for, and now this is the part of the podcast that I know everyone enjoys, because it's the time that Justin and I can talk about Tiger for a little while. As a loud plane flies over the podcast room in my basement. I'm sure our listeners will be able to hear that when they listen to the podcast. But he goes off at 1:27 tomorrow with Webb Simpson and Patrick Reed off hole one. Good pairing. Maybe not as good as the Fowler, Koepka, and Spieth pairing, but Tiger is back after a week off. You know, we discussed earlier, Tiger with the neck strain. He had a press conference yesterday and really went into detail about this neck strain. And I want to go over that with the viewer or the listeners. And what he basically said was he was feeling this tightness in his neck all the way back at the Open Championship last year at Carnoustie. That's a long way back.
Yeah,
and he said it's kind of been in waves, and he really started to feel it at the WGC in Mexico. So that could explain, you know, he finished strong down there. I believe he finished 10th, so it was a good finish. But some of the shots that he hit, you could see that he was pulling the ball. That should have been a sign for a lot of people that maybe something was a little bit off. But overall, he said it's nothing to worry about. He's feeling good this week. He got it worked on, loosened up. And since his lower back is fused, he said in the press conference, the stress has to go somewhere else. And the stress went to the neck. So he said he has to be really cognizant about keeping his lower back loose and flexible. Justin, you know, does that seem like something that we could be seeing, that we could see constantly popping up this year and being an obstacle for Tiger? Or do you think that it's not really that big of a deal, and people are sort of overanalyzing a little bit?
As of now, I say it's nothing to worry about. But, you know, if this starts becoming more present in what he's talking about, and he starts, you know, not playing super well, and then this is the fallback, like his neck's not hurt, which is an honest, legitimate excuse if that's what's causing him not to play right. Well. But if that's what starts to happen, then I believe it becomes a little bit more of a concern. But I wouldn't say so far yet. I'd say I wouldn't worry about him with his neck. And I was going to go a little far here and predict each round Tiger's score, what he's going to
do. I like it. I got a piece of paper right in front of me. I'll write it down.
Right. He's going to come out on fire tomorrow, go 5 under.
All right. Then so one, 67.
Yeah, then 1 under. Then 3 under. Then 4 under.
Minus one, third round 3 under, and then final round 4 under.
I believe that'll be top five. If that score wins, then he'll win. But I don't know. I just believe that will be what he ends up at, which I think is like 13 under.
That's a good prediction. It is. Yeah. Let's see what that is. 6-9. Yep. It's 13. It is in fact 13 under. Yeah. So that score will definitely be in contention. He'll find his way into contention with that score, no doubt. You know, that's a good prediction, Justin. If you look at Tiger's past couple tournaments, he's had a 15th, or I believe it went like 20th, 15th, 10th. It only makes sense that he would get 5th in this tournament. So good prediction there. Another couple pairings I just want to go over before we make our actual picks and discuss a little bit more about the tournament is the 8:32 pairing is Justin Rose, Justin Thomas, 2 Justins in the pairing, and Xander Schauffele, and that is, I believe, off hole one. 8:53 pairing is Dustin Johnson, John Rahm, and Sergio Garcia, and then the 9:04 is Mickelson, Kuchar, and McIlroy. All very solid pairings. That's Justin and I kind of went in, looked at the pairings, and selected the top five pairings. That's pretty much the top five. Obviously, you got every single top 50 player in the world at the players, so it's a loaded field, and it's hard to select. But but that's sort of what we have it narrowed down to. Justin, is there anybody that stands out in any of those pairings to you? And also, just who's your pick to win the playoffs?
Yeah, so there's a few names. You got to like Kuchar. You got to like Justin Rose. And, I mean, we haven't really mentioned Webb Simpson, but think about last year. He completely routed the field in the second and third rounds and, like, right. had literally already won the tournament before the fourth round and shoots over par and wins by four.
Right.
So, Webb Simpson, I mean, I don't know how badly he wants this event. Like, he had his father passed away shortly before he won last year. So I know he had a lot of motivation with that, but I feel like he's being a little overlooked, honestly. I feel like he might be able to find his way up into contention. John Rahm's a good name. But personally, you know, I'm just taking Tiger. I'm going to take Tiger to win it.
Tiger's your pick. I like it.
I believe top five guaranteed for him, but I'm just going to take him straight up also because I don't know another name that I like more to win. I like Justin Rose a lot. Kuchar sounds good, but Tiger, I like Tiger.
So, Justin, obviously, like I said, a loaded field, a lot of fantastic players in it. It's really hard to pick the winner this week. If we are able to pick the winner, then this podcast should go worldwide, frankly, because
3 for 4.
It takes a lot of talent to do that. And maybe a little bit of luck involved, but
yeah, we'll call it
talent. But I think the majority of the listeners would be very critical at the player that I picked to win this tournament because it doesn't really give ourselves the best statistical chances in projecting the winner correctly or predicting the winner correctly for this tournament. And my guy for this week, ever since he decided that he was good to go to play the event, and ever since I got the news that he has been working with a new putting coach, this player has not really had any use of swing coaches for a little while, several years, in fact, and finally decided to work on his putting, and that's been the really only aspect of his game that he struggled. And that guy, hopefully you guys can project, that guy's Tiger Woods. We have two Tiger picks this week at the Playas. Tiger's the guy. He is the guy to win this tournament. I think everyone's looking at Tiger going, it's time to make something happen. It's time to win again. His last win coming at the Tour Championship last year, he's in better form than he was when he won there. That's why I think he's going to win. If he can just get the flat stick and you know, going and get the ball going into the hole, he can really go low. Look for Tiger. The biggest key is going to be for him to keep his putts in the 20s every single round this week. That'll be the key to victory.
Yeah, so we both like Tiger, obviously. I think that 13 number right around there is where he'll be around. It's just how tough the course plays. If it plays tough, then he's going to be looking really pretty at that 13 number, my opinion. So,
yeah,
I don't know why I think that's what he's going to end up, but, you know, I guess we'll see shortly if that's what happens. And if that's what happens, then, you know.
You got to go for it with your prediction.
Yeah.
Another worthy note for everyone out there listening is – the Players is normally played in May. This tournament is normally played in May. And in May, the temperatures are warmer. The ball's really going further because it's playing a lot firmer, a lot faster. The greens are rolling a lot quicker. Now they moved it back to March. So this tournament being played in March, this week, you've got some warmer temperatures the first 2 days and some cooler temperatures on the weekend. The golf course is a lot softer. It's going to be playing longer. The greens will be a little bit more receptive. But David Duvall, who played in multiple major championships, obviously he was one of the best players in the world for a certain amount of time. He was number one in the world and arguably Tiger's greatest opponent for a certain amount of time on tour. But David Duvall goes on Golf Channel the other night. He's like, guys, this tournament being played in March makes it significantly tougher than when it's played in May. So I look for scores. I look for that winning score, frankly. You know, Justin, I like that prediction of 13 under. I think it's going to be more around that 10 number, maybe 9 even, maybe 8. I think this course is going to play hard this week.
Yeah, and, you know, honestly, the more, like, the lower this – not lower, like, the closer to par the winning score is, I think the better chance Tiger has of winning the event. If it's like an 8 or 9 and that's the top number, Tiger's going to be licking his chops and he's going to be like, that's easy. I got this. I've already done this. I don't know how many times. I think he's won 2 times. Has he won 2 times?
I believe he's won the players 2 times.
Okay. Yeah. He's looking for his 3rd time. And if it's barely into the double digits, I think he's just, you know, going to go grab it. He's going to pounce on it.
I'd sure love to see it. I know you would be a blast. Too, Justin.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm sure we'll have a great Sunday watching it, hopefully together, you know, if Tiger is, especially if everyone's close and Tiger's in contention, we'll even make it more exciting to watch. And
get Phil in there too somehow.
Right, get Phil, get Jordan. I'd like to see Jordan.
Definitely.
Up there. That would be nice to see him back. I know we discussed that earlier. But one more thing to touch on before we wrap up the podcast. That's the final 3 holes at TPC Sawgrass in Florida, obviously a world renowned golf course. That's where the Players is at. For those of you who don't know, last 3 holes, 16th long par 5, but it's reachable. They got water kind of up the right side of the green, long for some players, I guess, short for others. But that second shot, there's a lot of risk reward involved. You can definitely hit it into the water. Obviously, the 17th island green. Maybe the best hole in the world, most famous hole in the world. It's incredible. Pete Dye design. And then the 18th, you've got water going all the way down the left side. Tiger's known to hit a stinger draw. I know Justin, I sent you that video of Tiger's stinging draws earlier this week. And that's a hole where he'll definitely probably play that on. I know the conditions will be softer and they're firmer in May. We normally see him play that later into the year, but I could see him using it possibly, maybe with like a 3 wood on this par 4 18th, but it's a longer hole. And Tiger, I believe in his practice round, said he hit 3 wood, 3 iron in. So that's going to be playing tough. Look for scores to be high on those last 3 holes coming in, but also look for some guys to really take advantage and go low, because you can birdie, you can go eagle birdie on 16, 17, and just par 18, maybe even snag a birdie on 18, and all of a sudden you're gaining some serious shots on the field. You know, Justin, you can also see a 12, like Bob Tway made back in, I believe, 05 on the 17th hole. I don't even know how you do that.
Well, the way to do that is, let's see, 1 in the water. Hitting 3 from the drop zone in the water, hitting 5 from the drop zone in the water, hitting 7 from the drop zone in the water, hitting 9 from the drop zone.
In the water.
Either in the water or on the green, and then a 3-putt. And if it's in the water, then 11 from the drop zone and then make the putt. But more than likely, it was hit 9 on the green and then down in 3 for a 12.
You know what? That's actually a situation where I wish he would have made a 13 and just hold it from the drop zone.
That'd be hilarious. He'd probably just quit golf after that.
Justin, obviously hole 17 stands out, but what's your favorite, you know, and if it is 17, that's great. What is your favorite hole in that stretch? And also, what is the hole that you believe a lot of people, you know, it could be any hole actually on the golf course that you believe a lot of people don't really recognize as being a marquee hole or don't really understand how pivotal it is?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, 16 is the one that stands out the most to me, but I believe a lot of people do recognize how pivotal that hole is. You see Ricky Fowler a few years ago. I believe he hit, I don't know what he hit for his second shot, but he brought it in on the right side of the hole, like a couple yards from going in the water, and makes eagle and like goes 500 in his last 5 holes to end up winning. So 16 stands out a lot. There's going to be some big moves on 16, whether it be a double bogey all the way down to an eagle. And then 18, hole 18 is the finishing hole. Everybody knows it, obviously. And it just, it's such a tough hole. Like, it's so, especially if you need a par to win or a par to go to a playoff. Like, that is not the hole you want to have to play to make a par on.
That's right.
You just have water all down the left. You know, say if you hit a fade, you really got to kind of aim it on the edge of the water and trust your fade. And if you draw, you overdraw it a little, then you're in the water. And then now say you bail out right into the trees. Good luck making par from 200 yards out and heavy rough with trees in your way. So very tough hole. Ricky Fowler somehow played it amazingly a few years back when he ended up winning. He hit like a 340-yard draw,
which sure is really did.
What you need to be in a decent position off that tee. But, yeah, no, just if someone's got to make a par on that hole at any point or birdie, I honestly, if you need a birdie, it almost, like, frees you up a little bit more because it's like, I got to go for it anyways. Might as well, you know, like, attack it, no fear. But if you're trying to make a par, it's just coming down the stretch, it's going to be the most pivotal hole.
Right. And Justin, no lead is safe. I don't care if someone's up by five shots going into those last three holes, they can lose it. And it's happened before. Players have really choked leads coming down the stretch. And they've also made charges at the same time. So the players is going to be absolutely incredible this week. It's so great to have the tournament back in March. I'm looking forward to, I know you are as well, Justin. I'm just looking forward to a fantastic week of golf, especially with Tiger Woods back on the scene.
Most definitely. And if you're a Tiger hater out there, then get off this podcast. And second, you got 49 other of the top 50 in the world to just watch and just admire their golf.
Right.
Sorry to call you a few minority Tiger haters out, but
right,
we only need Tiger lovers on here. And but hey, if you're listening, you got so many other great golfers that are going to be playing this week. And no matter which group the Golf Channel or ABC or whoever is panning on, you're going to see some of the best golfers in the world hitting some of the best shots ever.
Exactly. You know, this is definitely a pro Tiger podcast. I mean, we are big Tiger fans on this podcast. If you haven't listened to our past podcast, we highly suggest that you go listen to some. One podcast in particular, we have like a 30-minute discussion on Tiger and his career. It's a fantastic discussion, a good summary, and then sort of gives our thoughts on Tiger. But Justin, before wrapping this up, I want to ask you one final question here. How many more years do we have of Tiger Woods playing on tour and competing for a chance to win major championships and big events?
Is he about like 43 right now or something?
I believe I want to say 42, low 40s.
Okay. I knew he was 42 not long ago. I didn't know if he had turned 43 yet or not. I'm going to say 10 years.
10 years. That would be incredible, I think, if he could get 10. That would be awesome. And that's my hope. I think, you know, Justin, you look at him, and Tiger has always been a guy who really has been a proponent of physical fitness of the game. He kind of led that movement. He definitely is a VJ type of guy in the training aspect. I just hope his back can hold, you know.
Yeah, it's all dependent on the back, because his new mind after going through what he's gone through is so strong now. As long as his back can hold up and not deteriorate, his mental game is going to keep him in there for 10 years guaranteed. I mean, he's the greatest golfer of all time. I mean, debatable to some people, but top three undebatable to anybody. So right. Once you get that, that doesn't just go away. You don't just forget everything that you learn throughout your golfing journey. So he's always going to have that mental strength now. It's just if his back and knee and just other body can just really, really keep up to the same extent Vijay has. Now just imagine like Tiger as a VJ at 52 or however old, but with Tiger's head, Tiger's brain.
Exactly.
And VJ damn near won at 56 or 57.
Sure did.
So that's 15 years older than Tiger, and Tiger's also won probably 5, 6, 7 more times, like times more than Vijay on the tour. Mm-hmm. And so, so I think we'll be seeing Tiger for a good 10 more years on the PGA Tour competing.
That would sure be fantastic. And feel free, all listeners on this podcast, to message us. Let us know your thoughts on our different opinions, different takes, and even our different picks. And feel free also to submit questions, as always, and we'll be happy to answer anyone's questions about anything and everything in the game of golf, or if it happens to be just a specific question about rules or even the tournament that happened the past weekend. We will be happy to answer any of those. So overall, Justin and I both picked Tiger for the playoffs. It's going to be a great tournament. Hope everybody tunes in and watches, because really there's a lot of action. There's a lot to learn. And it's incredibly, incredibly entertaining. It's one of the great sporting events of the year. Not just in golf, but in the worldwide sports around the world. So, Justin, you said to me right before we started this podcast that Chestnut Hills is going to open up, I believe you said March 15th, which is this Friday. And it's March 13th right now. That means we have 2 more days. Well, really one, just tomorrow, and then it's open, that a golf course in Fort Wayne will be open and we can actually go play. Incredible.
Yeah, I was ecstatic to hear, and it's a little surprised that it was going to be this early. The weather is going to be kind of crappy on Friday, unfortunately, but hey, it's before we know it. Looks like we got a tee time ready for next Friday. Going to be sunny and in the 50s. So even if we can't play this Friday, golf season's here. And over the next week, we'll be getting out on the course and having some personal adventures to be sharing with you guys on the podcast.
Exactly. Let's call Chestnut as soon as possible. Let's get that 1 o'clock time set in for not this Friday, but the following Friday. And we'll be out there playing. And hopefully, you know, we can just do a podcast right after and let our our listeners know how the first round outside in Fort Wayne, Indiana, goes, and we'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be incredibly exciting, and I'll be off to Hilton Head playing a lot of different courses down there, and it'll be a lot to talk about. And then I'll be heading back, and Justin and I will play a lot more golf. I know Justin will be out to a few of our matches. Canterbury golf season starts, so that'll be exciting, and then our tournament schedule starts up after that. So a lot of golf ahead of us. This is a very exciting time of the year for everybody interested in the game of golf. And we're just happy to have the opportunity to bring this podcast to everyone out there and hopefully make your enjoyment of golf enhanced and even better. So thanks for tuning in, and enjoy the playas.
Yeah, thank you, everybody. Make sure you tune into the playas, and go Tiger.
Go Tiger.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.